Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest.
Do you lack peace? Do you have trouble finding and extending grace? Are you searching for ways to be kind or to serve others? I'm so excited to introduce you to my new friend, Kay Wima. Kay's new book, The Peace Project, is out now, and it's like a Whole 30, but for peace. I'm so excited to share today's podcast with you, and Kay is sharing so much of her heart, and the bottom line is to see people, making others feel fully seen. I know, she's our people, right? So friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in.
Hey y'all, I'm so excited. I'm sitting here with a new friend, Kay Wima. Kay is an author of a new book all about peace, and we're going to talk all about it today. And I'm just really excited. We have a lot of like friend connections, and it just feels like we're like sitting down with like a new but old friend. So hey, Kay.
Hey, Jenna, it's so much fun. It really is. I really am like, this is a blast. I just, what a great way to start the morning. So I'm thrilled to be here. And I love talking about peace. It's a good topic.
Oh, I'm so excited. I feel like after the year we've had and just raising teens, mm-hmm. I feel like I need this conversation so much.
Isn't that the truth? I always feel like we're all like a flesh wound away from our teenage selves. And there's something about having teenagers next to you that makes you become your teenage self. It's like, what am I doing? Am I not grown up? Apparently not.
I know. Did I not like solve this issue in counseling? Because all of a sudden it's here again.
What in the world? It's so true. But there can be peace in those moments too. Really?
Well, I'm excited to talk about it. Okay. First, what's in your cup? What are you drinking?
Oh, I really am sitting here drinking a Topo Chico, which is probably the worst thing to drink on like recording a podcast. So, because it's so bubbly. But I love Topo Chico.
Your new book is all about peace, The Peace Project. So tell me, how did this start for you?
Well, it started with a bad attitude. Like, really and truly.
As is most things in my life.
I know. Isn't that the truth? Should we just out it that some of the best things come from a rotten attitude? Because maybe you're not expecting it. And it's a shocker. It sort of surprised me. We've got five kids. And the oldest, it's 24 to 14. And so, there's seven people in the house. And I was having ladies over to my house for coffee. And I opened the fridge to pull out the milk, and there were two cartons of milk with nothing in it. And I was like, what? Because we do that with cereal, too, and I don't understand it. It's just like, throw it away, because then we'll know there's no cereal in the box or there's no milk in the carton. Because why? Like, it cracks me up. Somebody will go, well, there was some left in it. And I'm sitting there going, a drop. And so I was grumpy. And just kind of like, are you for real? And I really did. I had people coming over. But we live in the neighborhood where there's a grocery store. So I got in the car to go get milk. And I was met in our street with some road rudeness, where a truck barreled up on me and was forcing me to back up because I couldn't get around them. And it was piled. We had cars on both sides of the street. And I was like, what? For real? You know, really, this is happening? And this is what started this whole peace project, because I was forced to back up. And as I did, I looked up and the sky was so beautiful. And I just had a moment going, what are you doing? Like, you're in a car and driving in an air-conditioned car in a hot Texas summer on the way to a grocery store where there are refrigerated items. And someone actually might say, hey, Kay, you know, like, I know the people that work there. And I didn't realize it at the moment because I started to breathe right then. But I didn't know that I was being thankful. Like, I wasn't cognitively going, you know, here's a tough moment of unsettledness or discord, be thankful. I just was, because I was hit by the beauty that surrounds us day in and day out. And then it went from being forced to where I really backed up and I was sort of like, please go. Like, please take the road. Kind of not, I'm sorry, but just kind of like, it's yours. Have it, in a happy heart sort of way, which was an act of kindness. And again, I wasn't sitting there going, be kind. I just did it, you know? And I felt better. Like, I physically felt better. And then when the car passed, and this was the kicker and has been the entire time. I had someone reach out to me yesterday going that they had started practicing thankfulness, kindness, and mercy, which is the Peace Project. Mm-hmm. And she said that mercy, it's not for the weak-hearted, because it's so deep and powerful. And so when the car passed me, I looked in, and there was, you know, the person driving. It was a guy. And I was sort of like, I have no idea what's going on in that person's day. Like, none. They could be racing to the hospital. They could be late for work. They could be, you know, a jerk. And a jerky people have long lives, because it's a lonely life. And so in that moment, I had compassion on the person, the human being that was behind the wheel of that car, the human being who has worth, who has dignity, and matters, you know? And so all in that moment, this was transpiring. And I felt so good, like, after it. Like, I was sitting there going, dang, I feel great. Went to the grocery store, got the milk, came home, the ladies came over. And I was even with them going, the weirdest thing happened this morning. Like, I was in the worst mood, and this car was so rude to me. And here's what went down. And I'm sitting there going, you know, it's an hour later, and I still was feeling physically great, going, that was amazing. Like, I don't know what happened. And that's when we started to unpack, going, what did happen? Why was that so powerful? Is this real? Like, can you meet situations that are, you know, involve discord, or I'm unsettled, my own unsettledness, and just whatever is going on? Can peace invade these situations? Does it last like it did? And I must have gooby friends, because we were like, let's try. Let's see what happens. What would happen if you did this for 30 days? Because I sort of was like, you know, people do a whole 30 if you're starting a diet. What if you did a kind of a diet for your soul? Like, you know, like, you were paying attention to your thought process and were doing healthy things for your thoughts. Let's do it. Let's try a soul 30. And so we did.
I love that so much. And just even starting there with that thought process of, like, taking these thoughts captive, like, this whole thing is very biblically placed. I know your heart in that, but, like, taking our thoughts captive. Okay. Like, I'm angry at that guy. Okay. Well, let's take that anger captive. Why? Like, why am I angry? Like, because I didn't get to back out of the driveway fast enough. Like just starting there and kind of like, well, that comes from hurriedness. Well, that comes from, like, okay, what does the Bible say about hurriedness? Like, slow down, be thankful, like, take a moment, be still. And then it's like, oh, okay. Like, so the Soul 30 started for you guys. Was it just your group, or was it your family? How did you include everybody? Because I know, like, Whole 30, if you try to include the family, nobody's jumping on board with that.
Yeah, especially. Okay, so here's the crazy thing. The difference between this and a Whole 30, like, a Whole 30, yikes. I'm just going to out myself. I can't do it. My goodness. I mean, the thought of it, I start to sweat. Like, I can't imagine having to give up all these things I love. And so the Soul 30, on the other hand, it's not like a diet. Like, you're not taking anything away. It's actually a feast. Okay, so, and here's the deal. Like, try it one day. Just one day. Like, just add to your day these things and get ready. Because I didn't make this stuff up. And I wasn't even taking it to the core level where it really lives in the Bible. Because it actually is putting into practice the greatest commandment. That's why it does what it does. You know, at the end of the day, why does it make such a huge difference? Because when the Lord was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, which is thankfulness, like, which if you're going to the core, and for me that day, I was looking at creation. Like, it was in my face, this beautiful sunrise coming through the clouds. And I just was like, dang, that is so beautiful. I breathe, you know? So right there, my eyes are off myself. Herein lies the secret. My eyes are not on me. And then the kindness part, loving others. And as you love yourself, which is not a narcissistic, you know, be obsessed with yourself. It's actually just the opposite. It's caring for yourself, which is where kindness and mercy come into play, because the essence of mercy is all that he has done for us to set us free so that you can live holy and like in fullness and in the beauty that comes with the peace that isn't like peace out, man, you know, or like for me, I grew up in the 70s. And so hippies were a big deal. Like there was a hippie park behind us and it was like, oh, peace, man. This isn't that. This is shalom peace. This is wholeness. This is completeness. This is the coming together of opposites, which is what shalom means. It's why in the Jewish community, shalom is a greeting and it's a goodbye, because it brings together opposites, which is who Jesus is. It's like he's taking the dark and making it light. And so because he bosses all of it, he takes the darkness and makes it lightness. And so you have this coming together in these practices. And I love, Jeanette, that you went to the why, because that's a big part. Like it's like these steps that doing thankfulness, it's like it primes the pump. Like you're literally priming the pump to be able to do something else, like to go to the kindness, which we can do that in our own ability. Like you can, all of us can think about kindness and write it down. We can do that. We can actually do kindness, acts of kindness in our own strength. You know, you can do it. And you can even do an altruistic act of kindness in your own strength. But to get to the place where there's compassion or grace or forgiveness, any of those, good luck, because that's not from, I don't think that's in any of us naturally. And that's where the soul life aspect comes, because you're actually experiencing the one who is compassion, the one who is grace, the one who is shalom, the one, I mean, it's because his name is Jehovah Shalom, by the way. And so it's like, that's why I think the richness is there. And it invites us to be able to ask the question, why? Like, why did it bother me so much that there was no milk in that carton? You know, and it was because we could all sit there and go, because at the core, you know, it begins with like, come on, people, do I have to do everything around here? You know, that first reaction. But if I'm really going to get to the base of the why, it's because it makes me feel unseen. Like I'm just there. And to be able to get to those whys and answer them with the truth is so powerful. And then to act on that is where it literally changes the neural pathways in your brain, which they now know, because we have brain science that has shown us what occurs with synapses in our brain. And this is where science meets scripture, because it's like, what? Yeah, that's exactly what scripture says. Because by the way, you were made for this. Like it is the truth. I love that. So like, good. I'm just sitting there going, sign me up. And so, it's pretty powerful.
Oh, so powerful.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, I want to break in real quick to tell you about a company and a product that I absolutely love. I've always loved having my nails done, and I really prefer to do them at home because, you know, like cost and convenience and all. I've used everything from the high-end polish to the nail stickers to press-ons, and they've all just missed the mark for me. Until now. Last year, I found Olive & June. Olive & June is a nail company that teaches you how to give the perfect at-home mani and pedi. They want you to feel beautiful, and they give you the perfect tools and polish to do so. They want you to have the best-looking hands and toes out there. Their nail polish is top-notch, and I personally had manicures last well past 10 days with little to no chipping. And don't even get me started on my pedicures. They last forever. I mean, come on. Their cuticle serum has stopped me from anxiously picking at my hands, and their nail strengthener has changed the shape of my nails. With some of the best, brightest colors, really any polish color that would ever fit your fancy. Think that you would really like Olive & June. If you want to check it out, head to oliveandjune.com. And for 20% off your order, use code JeanetteT20. That's JeanetteT20, the number 20. Let me know what colors you pick, or if you need any help choosing, hit me up in DMs. I'll help you. Okay, now back to this week's episode. Going back to the acts, like the serving and the kindness, I think that's what differentiates our Christian faith from other faiths that like do acts of service to gain their ways to heaven. Mm-hmm. We act and we can act out of our own power, like you said, but mm-hmm. when we're doing it from this heart of service or mercy and compassion, where our heart actually changes, where it's not through our own strength anymore, that's where our faith comes in. Whereas other faiths, they're doing it because it is out of their own strength and they're trying to gain something out of it. And I just think that that's a beautiful difference where it's like, I can act out of, I can give and serve out of my own strength for sure. But when I'm doing it because I know that I am serving the Most High God, like there's a difference there.
Yeah. And it's an element of possibly believing what he has said over you. Because I feel like in religion, we can hit those places where it feels like A plus B equals C. I have to do this and do this in order to be okay. And God's economy doesn't function that way. Like his is not achievement-based. It is actually just the opposite. It has been declared. Like your worth and your worth has been declared and your identity determined. Like, and again, that's the part. It's like, this is the living out, because if I'm really living it out, I can only go so far in my own effort. Yeah. But to actually believe what he says about you, you know, where he says, you are mine. I love you. I see you because his name is El Roy. You are always seen. You are precious. He declares over us that we are masterpieces, like a masterpiece. I was in the Smithsonian with the kids a couple years ago. They love rocks, like mine love rocks. And so we went to the Natural Museum of History, which is where the Hope Diamond is. And if you go, because there's that segment, I don't know if you've ever been, but it's really beautiful where they have all the jewels, and because it's spectacular, like really phenomenal, the colors, the brilliance, the rareness. And you have this diamond, the Hope Diamond, that is literally guarded in the middle of the room. Like it's encased and they have guards around it. And then they have all the cool stuff to make sure that no one can touch it. And that's a rock. That is a rock which holds nothing compared to you. Because that's, if we could for a second actually believe what he speaks over us, that you are more precious than that. He guards you more diligently than the guards in the Smithsonian watch that diamond. And it's like, that's how precious you are. And it's, and when we act on these things, for a moment, we get to exit what we think about ourselves and live in who it is that he says that we are, because you're functioning in your significance being settled by him. And that's that, you know, as in the book, I was sort of like, why? Like what and why? And peeling back the layers, going, oh, well, this is where the peace is coming from. And the amount of peace that comes from leaning into your settled significance is so significant, because it makes the ground stable and it actually invites you to do what you were just saying, being able to live in the mercy and the grace that the Lord has given us so that you can genuinely care about the people that are around you. And when you can do that for other people, you just might be able to do it for yourself. Because the person that really needs grace is the one looking back in the mirror so desperately. If we could just be kind to ourselves.
That's been such a theme for me this year, is being kind to myself. And it's, I don't know if it's just like getting, you know, like aging or getting older or having kids, like I said, teenagers who will call out every flaw that you have.
Yeah.
Or like living those teenage years again.
Yes. Yes.
Or what? But it is one of those things where it's like, man, I am so unkind to myself. And one of the things that, like, I love that Stone reference, or, and just how you brought that up, because the thing that I have to tell myself all the time is your Heavenly Father delights in you. Mm-hmm. He finds joy in you. And so I'm reminding myself of that. And then it's one of those things, like, I say it to myself about the Lord, like, the Lord delights in you. But I've also been changing that and telling my kids, hey, man, I delight in you. You bring me great joy. This parenting thing is no joke, but you guys are my greatest delight. Like, I really enjoy you. And it's been really fun to speak that to them, because it reminds us. And I think it's the same thing that we're saying, but it also, we have to remember, like, the Lord is speaking those things to us. We are rare, precious, beautiful gems that He's created and that He delights in. Not only does He want to protect us because we are His children and His people, like his chosen, but He also, like, really cares for us. Like, we bring Him joy. It's just such a fun thing to think about, and it's a fun thing to, like, when I speak that to my kids, it's my reminder of, like, hey, the Lord feels the same about you.
Yep. It's so true. And when you speak that over your kids, I love that you do that, because it helps you not just love them but like them. They're very likable. You know what I mean? And that's real. And you will watch them find great safety in that, because everything else around them is telling them, you're only okay if. It's a big if then statement. Like, if you do this, then you get this. If you make this team, then you're okay. If you sit at this table in the cafeteria, then you're all right. If you make these great, you know. And for them to be able to have that safe space with you is really significant too, you know, because it allows them to be who they are, and it gives that ground of safety, which is where you're going with the Lord, leaning into the Lord, speaking that over us. He names us, like in Isaiah. Isaiah is so full of beautiful names and truths about what the Lord has declared over you, especially from 40 on. And one of the names that He has declared over you is sought after, with a capital S and a capital A. And really, like, it's sort of like, I'm sought after, like someone is coming after me, like they care enough to, like, find me. it's okay. Yes. So that's where this joy comes, and it sort of turns down the volume on the things of the world that are sort of like the cacophony that's just, like, blasting at us all the time. Okay. And so why this is so powerful, being able to do, to extend mercy and practice mercy with other people and with ourselves, it's like, it's putting meat on the bones. Like, it helps you to believe it. Like me, it helps me to possibly believe it about myself. And it invites so much freedom, because you're going to the place of dignity and worth. And this world, it's almost like right now in culture, the way it is, it's like bent on dehumanizing people who are of great worth. And so when we see someone like they matter, it rehumanizes the moment. And so a couple of weeks ago this happened, and I have shared this on several platforms, because I find it's just like, here's a great example. Although I could give you one even from today, you know, because they're everywhere, all around you. But I was walking through the parking lot to get into the grocery store the other day, and someone honked at me. I'm so fed up with the honking. Like, it's just, why is everybody honking? You know, what's happened? People just are so rude. And I think people are angry. And I think everybody's like, am I an angry person now? Like, who is this angry person? Right. But I think part of it, too, is that there's traffic. And we all know what traffic is because we've driven in traffic for years, but we haven't driven in traffic for the last year and a half. And so you have this new, all these things that are normal, but they aren't, because it's like, I don't know what to do in that. And so this lady's in the parking lot. I guess she wasn't watching, and she honks at me because I'm walking. And so in that moment, I could be like, oh, that lady, like, how rude, blah, blah, blah. Right. And even gone in the store and commiserated with the cashier, you know, like, let me tell you what happened out there. There's no life in that, like Zippo life. So in the, I really did. I sat there. I was like, okay, she's stressed out. I don't know what's going on. She may not even seen me. She just saw something and honked. And so it was settled right there in the parking lot. I go into the store and it's packed. I get to the deli. I take my deli ticket, you know, waiting, waiting, waiting. And who shows up next to me but the lady that honked at me? And so there's no grievance. There's nothing. Like, you know, I'm just like, there she is. And actually even kind of like, there she is. Like a happy sort of, man, my heart's aching. I don't know what's going on, but my heart aches with you. And so the deli guy calls my number, and I'm like, here. And I feel her like sigh and just go, oh. And she had totally forgotten to get a number when she walked up. I had margin in my day. And so I'm like, here's my number. Happily, I give her my number. She rejects my number because that's what we do. We're like, well, I can't take that. And and I was like, no, you can't. She couldn't. But the deli guy's watching the whole thing. And so he sees what's happening. I go to give him my number and he serves her. And so in, and I leave because I'm like, I'm not going to ruin this moment by me standing here because I already, you know, it was just, it was so beautiful. And it allowed a person, that person, to feel seen. And it was the tiniest, like tiny. The next day, you know, we were going, it's on the same road, and my daughter, there was someone trying to get over two lanes, and my daughter was like, let him go. And so we did, we stopped and let them go. And she said to me, she's 22, and she said, I'm so glad you did that. Do you know what that would have done to me if someone did that for me? And I was like, what? And she goes, I would feel seen. Just letting someone go ahead of you. And so it takes these dehumanizing things, honk, honk, you're worth nothing, that kind of thing. And it's like, I see you, please go. And we can do it all day, every day with everybody that's around us in tiny ways and in big ways. And the coolest part is when you do the tiny things, it invites you to be able to go to those very significant big things, because mercy does involve compassion. It does involve grace. It involves forgiveness. Mm-hmm. It involves releasing bitterness. And there's so much freedom in it. But in some of the old gunky things, it takes a lot. Like, we really have to be aware of our settled significance to be able to go into those places. And the Lord wants us to, so that we can be set free.
One of my favorite things to do here on the podcast is we say every week that you know that you are seen, heard, and never alone, no matter what stage of life you're in. And so often we feel unseen. And I think that there's the unseenness of motherhood, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But even just hearing you say that, there's so many times we're unseen within our world because we're all moving at breakneck speeds. We're all going so fast. We're all doing something. Mm-hmm. Or we're not even looking up. I love that you said, I looked up. I just looked up and I could see. Mm-hmm. And so part of me just wants to, like, that prayer for us now is like, hey, man, look up. See the people around you. I say that when we talk about friendship and loneliness. Look around you. If you're feeling lonely, look up. Look around you. Who's next to you? Who are you seeing at the gym every day that you're not saying hi to? Like, look around. And I just think that if we were to operate in this way more, oh man, we'd have people who saw others.
It's amazing.
We'd have people who loved like Jesus loved.
Yes. And it's inspiring. It makes everyone feel good. That's where it's sort of like, some of these problems seem so big, you know, cancel culture, political issues, the divides, disunity. And it's sort of like, yeah. How do we fix it? We surrender and we start to believe what the Lord has declared over us, and we act in it and on it. And that's huge, because anytime we do that, it's like, I was in a cab last week, and the cab driver, oh my gosh, he was so crabby and rude. And I was sort of like, why are you driving a taxi cab, you know? And and he was angry with me because I told him the address, and he's like, that's not an address. And I'm sitting there going, I don't know what to say to you. Like, this is all I got. And by the time we got there, I knew how to get there, but I didn't know another name for how to get there. And so even as we're getting closer, I was like, oh, you can turn at this light. And he was like, stop telling me I am a cab driver. And so we get there and I'm going, he is so, so unhappy. And so as I gave him a huge tip, I was like, listen, you're seen. And you are known. Yeah. And I appreciate that you drove me where I needed to get. And I'm sorry that I was wrong with the address, but I want you to know that I needed the help. And I really appreciate the help that you gave me today. And I mean, this surly, very hard guy started to break down. He was like, I just have to tell you, I don't like driving a cab. This is a terrible job. And I was like, it's okay that it's a bad job, but you have a job. Don't forget that you have a job, you know, and just met him right there. And when he left, he goes, this was the best thing that's happened to me all week, because it's like just meeting someone where they are. So here's a really important thing about mercy, because it's not an invitation for someone to walk over you. Okay. Because it could sound like, oh, just let anybody do anything to you that they want to do. And that is not what mercy is. A Jesuit priest described it as the willingness to enter into someone else's chaos, because that's what's happening. And the key phrase is willingness, because you're not a victim. This isn't like when the truck barreled up on me, I was a victim. Like, I was forced to back down. I had no choice. But something changed in that scenario when I chose to have mercy on, you know, it's like there was an aspect that changed. And what was really occurring was me getting my feet underneath me through the gratitude, through the kindness that came out of, like, I have something to give here. And through me knowing that I could have compassion because of the compassion that has been given to me. Even if I wasn't ticking that all off in my head, it was going on in my head. And so it's the key to be able to function and operate out of wholeness, because you have been made whole. And that's where the peace comes in, because we're engaging with it at this soul level. And that's where I think, like, this fragrance comes off. You know, we hear about that, of the sweet aroma. And this, I'm just telling you that there was a sweet aroma to this person that really didn't want it. It was so powerful. And so, yes, please, let's do it. Of course, I would love people to buy the book, but more than anything,
yes,
let's just do it. You know, it's like just today, in the moment of your day, in the moment of unsettledness, find something to be thankful for in it. And in that, in your day, find someone that you can be kind to, that's legitimate kindness. Listening is a great act of kindness. Serving is a great act of kindness. Saying something kind, like, just nice. I love your shoes. Where'd you get them? Like, legit. And then to hit mercy when you're disgruntled because you're in the wake of someone else, or even in the wake of myself. Find the grace, find the compassion, and extend it, and live in the fullness that comes with that. And it brings joy. It's like invites joy, which goes to this place. I know you love the Ecclesiastes verse where there's like nothing new under the sun. Well, man, Ecclesiastes, it's a great, such a good book. And one theme that he repeats over and over in that book is just do the work, do your toil, because it's toil. And he says, eat and drink, not as a coping mechanism, you know, but to enjoy which you're doing with coffee. Like, let's just sit and linger and enjoy. And he says, this is the gift of the Lord. And so it's like, live it. Enjoy it. Yes, it's toil. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. But let me tell you something. The Lord is the rock everlasting. His love is steadfast. And it is spoken over you. And oh my gosh. It was given to you at a great cost because you're worth it, because you're worth it, because you're worth it.
Absolutely. Oh, so good. So, so good. And I think that there's just like sometimes doing the work, sometimes that toil is work.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
for
like
sure.
It is. It's,
yeah.
There's days where you're going to wake up and you're not going to want to be peaceful or kind or anything. So you have to do the work. But that fragrance, once you, like, I love the example of the fragrance because you remember a smell, right? A smell brings you back.
Yeah.
And so that fragrance, you're going to get a whiff of that fragrance and you're going to be like, oh, yes, I remember how I felt. We're big Disney people.
Yeah.
And there's a couple smells. I'm like, oh, where am I? Like, am I a Disney? No, I'm not a Disney. Like,
but I remember it.
Bring you right back.
Yes. And isn't a fragrance interesting? Because you're not conjuring up the fragrance. It's like you're not sitting there going, smell a certain way. It's exuded. Yep. Like, I mean, I love that because it's so not your effort.
So good. Okay. Well, we're talking about Ecclesiastes and the time for everything under the sun. What is it time for in your own life right now?
I think a big part of it is the rest, like even the resting while they're going. And I'm learning a lot about that right now. And I struggle with it. But I think there's something really neat in it that I'm like, I want to know what that is. And so with a plate full and with a lot of expectations on me, as there are on every mother, okay, in this lovely role of motherhood, which I do adore because so much of it centers on service, like not thinking about yourself. Yeah. I actually think it's the biggest gift ever, like the only time in your life ever where you just get to serve. I just think being able to have that Sabbath rest in the midst, I know it's there. And so I love the moments when I feel it. So that's where I would love to have, if you're asking me, like, I would love that to fill my time. And might it do that more and more and more? And maybe this stuff, I'm just telling you this, practicing these things, it has changed so much in our lives. And again, I didn't ask for it. It barreled on me. It was sort of like, here you go. And I'm so thankful for whatever reason that my eyes were open to be able to receive it. And that there was that sort of conviction to do it, which for me was saying something like the Soul 30. You know, it's like, okay, now it's a game. Now I'm going to play. I don't go a day without doing it. I don't go a day without stopping and being moved by the life that has come with mercy, with seeing others and stepping in. It's so full of life, even in the midst of all the to-dos. And so, and maybe that's what the Sabbath rest is that shalom. It could be.
Yeah. Oh,
I think so. That's a long answer.
That's
so good. I should have stopped at the stop talking.
No, not at all. Not at all. Okay, this has been so much fun. Thank you for having coffee with us. Thank you for your honesty and your vulnerability and just your talent in writing this challenge for all of us. I think this is going to be a game changer. I really, really do. And I'm so, so thankful that you're leading this charge and you're helping others be seen.
Oh, gosh. They are seen. And it is. I hope you do get the book. I really like it.
Okay. Who's ready to take on and buy the Peace Project? Be sure to thank Kay for coming and have coffee with us. She's over on Instagram at Kay Wima, and that will be linked in the description as well as on my website at itstimeforcoffeepod.com, where you can also grab your copy of the Peace Project. Y'all, more peace is just what I'm craving. I know. It's simple. We just need to look up. I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.
Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week, and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.